What if I told you that you could own a piece of a high-rise in downtown Miami for like the cost of a nice dinner out?
I mean, I'd probably ask what the catch is.
Right. Well, what if I also told you that a leaky toilet in that exact same building could still, completely ruin your digital portfolio today?
Yeah, that sounds a bit more realistic.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are dismantling the holy grail of financial freedom for you, which is real estate passive income.
It's a huge topic.
It is. I mean, for decades, the pitch has been so simple. Buy a property, put a tenant in it, let them pay down your mortgage, and then just watch your bank account grow while you sit on the beach.
Right, the classic beach fantasy.
Exactly. But if you have ever actually owned a rental, the reality involves, well, a lot less beach time and a lot more fielding angry phone calls at 2 in the morning.
Oh, absolutely.
So today, we are pulling from this really comprehensive guide called The Evolution of Passive Income Through Property Tokenization.
It's a great piece of source material.
It really is. And our mission today is to figure out if breaking a property into digital tokens is like the ultimate shortcut to truly hands-off investing.
Or if it's not.
Right. Or if it is just a high-tech coat of paint over the exact same old landlord nightmare.
Which is a very real possibility.
So, okay, let's unpack this because to really understand the value of tokenizing a property, we have to first look closely at the broken promise of traditional rental income.
Yeah, I mean, the word passive really does a lot of heavy lifting in traditional real estate marketing, doesn't it?
It does. It does so much work.
Because the source material makes a really clear point right out of the gate. The traditional model fundamentally forces the investor to become an operator.
Right.
Even if you hire, a traditional property manager, you are still managing the manager.
Which is a job in itself.
Exactly. You're approving repair quotes, dealing with unexpected vacancies, analyzing local tax assessments.
Just carrying that whole mental load.
Right, the mental load of a highly illiquid asset. It is essentially an ongoing part-time job that's just masquerading as a hands-off investment.
It totally reminds me of those low maintenance house plants you buy at the hardware store. You know the ones? You read the tag and it says it requires minimal care, so you put it on your windowsill.
Thinking it'll just survive.
Right, expecting it to just thrive in the background of your life.
Right.
But then a week later, the leaves are turning yellow.
Always.
And you find out minimal care actually means it requires precise humidity levels, daily misting with filtered water, and like a dedicated babysitter if you leave town for the weekend.
That is painfully accurate.
Right. Traditional landlording is exactly that houseplant. You think you are buying a cash flowing asset, but you're actually inheriting this fragile ecosystem that demands your constant attention.
I love that houseplant analogy because it gets right to the heart of it. And, this is where tokenization steps in. But we need to be very precise about what tokenization actually does. It does not change the biological needs of the plant.
Or the physical reality of the building.
Exactly. The triumph of tokenization is the total restructuring of the operational burden.
What do you mean by restructuring?
Well, it takes the active work of ownership and fundamentally decouples it from the investment returns.
Decoupling the work from the return.
Yes.
But if I am not doing the work, who is? And I guess more importantly, how does a digital token on a blockchain actually give me a legal claim to the rent paid by a physical human living in a physical building?
Right, the real world connection.
Because we can't live inside a piece of code. So we have a physical building, but I am buying digital tokens. How does the law actually connect those two things?
That bridge between the physical bricks and the digital tokens is it's the most critical piece of the puzzle here.
Okay.
It relies on a legal structure, typically a special purpose vehicle, like an LLC or a trust.
Got it.
This legal entity holds the actual physical deed to the property in the real world.
So the trust owns the building.
Exactly. When you buy a token, you are not directly buying a piece of the kitchen or like a fraction of the driveway. You're buying fractional equity in that legal entity.
So my tokens act as programmable shares in the trust.
Yes, and programmable is the key word there.
Why is that?
Well, in the past, syndicating a property like this meant lawyers drafting hundreds of pages of documents.
Like the paperwork.
Right, manual wire transfers, and just a mountain of administrative overhead just to bring, say, 10 investors together. It was way too expensive to scale.
Okay, I see.
Tokenization replaces that friction. The tokens represent your legal participation, and they are governed by smart contracts on a blockchain.
Let me stop you there because the phrase smart contract gets thrown around a lot.
It really does.
And I don't want to just trust some faceless platform to handle my money manually and promise to send me a check in the mail. Where's the guarantee that I actually get paid my share of the rent?
Think of the smart contract like an infallible digital vending machine.
A vending machine.
Yeah. With a traditional syndication, an accountant sits at a desk, looks at the rent collected, calculates everyone's percentage, and authorizes bank transfers.
Which is slow.
Slow and super prone to human error. But with a smart contract, the rules are baked right into the code.
Oh, wow.
So the tenant's rent enters the digital ecosystem. The con automatically subtracts the exact percentages required for, you know, property taxes and the property manager.
And then
it instantly routes the remaining change directly into the digital wallets of the token holders. No human accountant required. The math just executes itself.
Which brings us to the platform itself, right? Because the source text describes these platforms as the overarching engine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there.
They build the digital vending machine, but they also partner with professional operators in the real world.
Right, the boots on the ground.
Exactly. These operators are the ones actually in the trenches doing the tenant screening, drafting the leases, collecting the rent, calling the plumber.
Handling the evictions if things go sideways.
Right, so they were acting as highly sophisticated property managers.
Yes. The operator takes on all the active duties we discussed earlier.
Leaving me with what? Just like checking an app.
Essentially, yes. Your duties are strictly administrative and analytical.
Right.
You review the income reports generated by the platform, you monitor your distributions, and you must thoroughly understand the platform's fees and governance policies.
But I'm not doing the dirty work.
Nope. You do not negotiate leases, you do not vet contractors, you never get the 2 a.m. phone call about the overflowing toilet.
Okay, that sounds incredibly convenient. But we need to look at the math, because convenience is never free.
It certainly isn't.
So what does this all mean for my bottom line? If the platform and the operators are building smart contracts, setting up legal trusts, screening tenants, and fixing toilets, they are taking a cut.
Of course.
How much of that rent check am I actually seeing in my digital wallet?
What's fascinating here is that while platforms absolutely take a fee, and they must, to maintain this complex infrastructure, the trade-off is a system that enforces rigorous financial discipline.
Right.
But you have zeroed in on the single most critical financial concept for you to understand in this space.
Which is?
The massive difference between gross rent and net distributable income.
I feel like this is where people get completely blinded by the digital hype.
Oh, all the time.
They scroll through a tokenization marketplace. They see a property that rents for, say, $2,000 a month.
Yep.
They buy a 10% token share, and they think, great, I'm making $200 a month.
And they're going to be very, very disappointed.
Because of the expenses.
Exactly. Gross rent is just the top line revenue. It is the raw amount the tenant pays.
Yeah.
But before the smart contract routes a single cent to your digital wallet, the physical reality of the building takes its toll.
Right.
The platform must escrow money for local property taxes. They have to pay the building insurance. They must build a reserve fund for future maintenance.
Plus the fees.
Right. Then the real-world operator takes their management fee, and the digital platform takes their administrative fee.
Let's put some concrete numbers to this so we can really see the impact.
Okay, let's do it.
If that property rents for $2,000, my 10% share of the gross is $200.
Right.
But after the taxes, the insurance, the maintenance reserves, the operator's cut, and a platform fee that might be, say, 15% of the revenue altogether, The actual pool of money left over might only be $1,200.
That is a very realistic scenario. Mm-hmm. And that $1,200 is the net distributable income.
Okay.
That is the pie that actually gets sliced up for the token holders.
So my 10% share doesn't yield $200 a month. It yields $120.
Exactly.
That $80 gap is essentially the price I am paying to keep my hands clean and my weekends free.
And that $80 gap fluctuates too.
Really?
Yeah. The payouts are distributed periodically, usually monthly or quarterly, and they are strictly based on whatever that net figure happens to be for that specific period.
So it's not a fixed bond.
Not at all. Ensuring you have realistic expectations about the net income, rather than calculating your returns based on the gross rent, is vital. You are buying a highly optimized slice of profit, not top-line revenue.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. We've got this slick digital platform, these fractional tokens, these smart contracts, distributing net income perfectly on the blockchain.
It sounds perfect.
It feels so futuristic, so clean, and mathematically perfect. But you can hold your property ownership on the most cutting-edge blockchain in the world. And if the physical water heater bursts in the real world, your digital token's income still takes a hit.
Yep.
Because a smart contract cannot fix a leaky roof.
You cannot code away real-world physics, and you cannot code away human behavior.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Because the operational headache is outsourced, it is incredibly tempting for investors to think the risk is completely outsourced too.
Right, out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. But a digital token is inextricably tied to a physical asset. Tokenization does not eliminate real-world risks. It just changes how you interact with them.
The leaks are still real, both the plumbing kind and the financial kind.
Absolutely.
If that HVAC unit dies in our Miami high-rise, what actually happens? In the traditional world, I'm calling contractors and writing a check from my personal bank account.
Yes.
In the tokenized world, does the platform send me a bill?
Usually no. And this is where that maintenance reserve fund we mentioned earlier comes into play.
Okay.
Good platforms hold back a percentage of the gross rent every month to build a capital expenditure, or CapEx, reserve.
So they're saving up for it.
Right. When the HVAC dies, the operator uses that reserve to pay the contractor. But, and this is the big but, if the repair costs $5,000 and the reserve only has $2,000 in it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the smart contract will halt or severely reduce the dividend payouts to the token holders until the remaining $3,000 is recouped from the incoming rent.
So even though I didn't have to call the repairman, I am still feeling the exact same financial pain as the traditional landlord. My yield drops to zero for a quarter while the building heals its balance sheet.
Exactly. The guide details several key variables that affect your passive income, and they are the classic fundamentals of real estate.
Like that.
Well, property location and market demand dictate everything. If a platform tokenizes a building in a neighborhood with declining job growth and nobody wants to live there,
then nobody pays rent.
Right. Your high-tech tokens are going to generate zero income because the physical unit is sitting empty.
Let's talk about vacancy, actually, because the source material brings up specific risk drivers related to tenants. Lease length, for example.
That's a big one.
We might think a short-term rental model generates more nightly revenue, but the risk profile is completely different than a long-term lease.
Totally different. A long-term corporate tenant provides a very predictable, stable yield curve.
Right.
A short-term lease model introduces massive volatility. With a short-term lease, you have constant turnover.
Which means cleaning and gaps.
Yes. That means periods of vacancy where no rent is coming in, marketing costs to constantly find new tenants, and relentless cleaning fees. Every single one of those factors shrinks that net income pie before the smart contract even fires.
And then there is the maintenance strategy. The source material draws a very sharp line between scheduled maintenance and reactive maintenance.
Oh, yes.
If you have been around real estate long enough, you know reactive maintenance is an absolute killer.
It is the difference between a minor operational expense and a major financial event.
Can you break that down?
Sure. Scheduled maintenance is replacing the roof on a Tuesday morning because it is nearing the end of its 20-year lifespan.
Nice and calm.
Right. Reactive maintenance is paying triple time emergency rates to a contractor on a holiday weekend because the roof just caved in and ruined the tenant's television and hardwood floors.
Wow. And the smart contract doesn't shield you from the contractor's weekend emergency rate.
It certainly does not. This is why evaluating a platform's historical performance and the quality of their physical property management is absolutely non-negotiable.
Because it really comes down to the people running it.
You are not just trusting their blockchain engineers to write secure code. You are trusting their local operators to run a physical building efficiently. If the operator is lazy and relies entirely on reactive maintenance, your net yield will constantly be eroded by emergencies.
Which brings us to the ultimate showdown.
Okay.
We understand how the legal mechanics work. We know how the smart contracts distribute the net income. And we know the physical risks are still very much in play.
Right.
So let's put them head to head. Tokenization versus traditional rentals.
Yeah.
Who actually benefits from this? Because clearly this model is not for everybody.
No, it's not. Let's frame this around how each model handles risk and control. In the traditional model, the barriers to entry are incredibly high.
Like the down payment.
Exactly. It requires significant capital, usually a massive cash down payment, to secure a mortgage. Because it is so capital intensive, your risk is heavily concentrated.
Like all your eggs in one basket.
Traditional real estate is exactly like putting all your financial eggs in one massive, very fragile basket. You might have your entire life savings tied up in one single family home.
Which is terrifying.
So you have almost zero diversification. But in exchange for taking on that concentrated risk, you get full, unadulterated control.
Right.
You pick the tenant, you approve the paint color, you decide exactly when to refinance or sell.
You can actively force appreciation. Like, you can renovate the kitchen yourself to justify raising the rent. You pull all the levers.
Yes. You are trading your sweat equity and active management for potential upside.
Okay.
Tokenization is the exact inverse. It requires much lower entry capital. Because the entry cost is low, you can easily diversify.
Right, splitting the eggs up.
Instead of putting all your eggs in one basket, tokenization allows you to buy one egg in 50 different baskets across the globe. You could own tokens in a residential building in Austin, a commercial retail space in London, and an industrial park in Tokyo.
But I have absolutely zero control over any of those 50 baskets.
None.
I can't force the operator in Austin to update the kitchen, and I can't tell the platform in London to sell the building because I think the market has peaked. I am completely along for the ride.
You are a passenger.
So I have to ask, is giving up total control to a platform a bug or is it a feature? Because to a traditional real estate investor, giving up control of the asset feels like a cardinal sin. You are basically just buying a low-yield bond that comes with plumbing issues.
This raises an important question about investor psychology and your ultimate goals.
Mm.
Are you trying to build an active business, or are you trying to park capital for a passive return?
Right. What's the goal?
The source guide highlights ideal profiles for the tokenized model. It is designed for time-poor professionals.
Makes sense.
People who generate a strong primary income and want exposure to real estate returns, but do not have 40 hours a month to dedicate to dealing with tenant complaints or managing contractors.
It also explicitly mentions crypto investors who have made money in highly volatile digital assets.
Yes.
And now they want exposure to slow, physical, real-world assets to balance out their portfolios without leaving the digital ecosystem they are so comfortable in.
For those profiles, the loss of control is absolutely a feature. They are happily trading active alpha for passive beta. They do not want control. They want cash flow and diversification.
Right.
But the guide is equally clear about who this is not for.
Right. Control freaks need not apply.
Exactly.
If you want to micromanage the property management, watching an operator make decisions you completely disagree with will just drive you crazy.
It is also not for people looking for guaranteed fixed income returns.
Mm-hmm.
As we just discussed with the leaky roofs, the real world is messy, and yields will fluctuate based on occupancy and repair costs.
Yeah.
But perhaps the most critical warning in the text is regarding scale.
Yes, this stood out to me as well. It is a massive warning to anyone expecting to use a small token investment to easily replace their monthly salary.
Which is a common misconception.
Right, because the marketing around tokenization often highlights the low barrier to entry, like start investing with just $50. But the math of yield remains undefeated.
Exactly. Tokenization does not magically change the fundamental yield of real estate. If a property generates an 8% annual net return, you still need massive capital deployed to generate significant income.
Do the math on that for us.
Okay, an 8% return on a $500 token investment is $40 a year. That is not replacing your day job.
Not even close.
To generate an $80,000 annual salary from an 8% yield, you still need to invest $1 million, regardless of whether you own the whole building traditionally or own $1 million worth of tokens.
That is a harsh, but really necessary reality check. The structure changes, the operational burden shifts, but the underlying financial gravity remains exactly the same.
It really does.
This model really should be viewed as a supplemental income stream, like a tool for asset diversification, rather than a get-rich-quick mechanism for financial independence.
It requires deep due diligence, not sheer speculation. Successful participation means reading the platform's terms, understanding their fee structures, analyzing the historical performance of their real-world operators, and just making an informed decision about where to park your capital.
So, to pull all of this together, tokenized property is this incredibly powerful mechanism that bridges the gap between digital convenience and real estate fundamentals. It legally and structurally strips away the active nightmare of being a landlord, giving you true passive exposure to rental income. But it does not and cannot strip away the realities of the physical real estate market.
Yeah, it can't.
The smart contracts ensure you get paid fairly, but they cannot stop the roof from leaking. It is a highly viable supplemental income strategy, provided you respect the real-world risks and the math of net distributable income.
You must remember that you are changing the administration of the asset, not the fundamental nature of the asset itself.
Exactly. So whether you are a seasoned real estate investor who is just absolutely tired of unclogging drains on a Sunday afternoon, or you are a digital first investor looking for something tangible that generates a steady yield, this fractional model is a structural shift in ownership that you really can no longer ignore.
It's here to stay.
The legal mechanics are sound, the payouts are automated, and the risks are deeply tied to the physical world.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, though, it leaves us with something pretty profound to consider about the future of our physical spaces.
What's that?
We are talking about fundamentally changing how residential real estate is owned at scale. If fractional ownership via global tokens becomes the dominant way homes and apartment buildings are owned in the future, how will that change our psychological relationship to our own neighborhoods?
Wow. Yeah, if the house next door isn't owned by a local family or even a local landlord who lives in the same city.
Exactly. When a single street is owned by thousands of anonymous global token holders whose only connection to the property is a digital yield payout hitting their wallet every quarter, does the very concept of a local community fundamentally change?
That's a wild thought.
Does it matter who owns the pits if the people living inside them are still locals? Or does separating the ownership from the geography slowly alter the fabric and accountability of a neighborhood?
That is a massive question. It's one thing to decentralize an investment portfolio. It is entirely another to decentralize the ownership of a community.
Right.
It is honestly a slightly unnerving thought to chew on the next time you take a walk down your block and look at the houses around you. We will leave you to ponder that one. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the hype, keep looking under the hood, and keep exploring.